This show was created by 22 Creations Multimedia LLC. This is the home of OC Paracon and not the same old paranormal.
What does not the same old paranormal sound like?
Keep listening and it'll be obvious.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. That's hysteria.
Have fun listening. This is Paranormal Perception with Henry San Miguel and Chris DeLorona.
Not a ghost yet, but I'm not in the paranormal control room, so we weren't able to put together a new episode for you. And I told you about this last week that this might happen. So for this week, what I'm going to do is I'm going to replay an interview from back in season number 4. I'm going to get to that right after I tell you about alien soda. Now, it's not the kind of soda that you can serve at your next barbecue. I'm talking about our sponsor, Alien Soda Company. Visit aliensodacompany.shop and browse through a variety of paranormal-themed items like coffee mugs, the coffee to fill those coffee mugs with, shower curtains, t-shirts, acrylic wall art, and a whole lot more. Keep listening and I'm going to let you know how you can take 10% off your order every time you shop there. Not just one time, every time you shop there. Alien Soda Company, for all things out of this world.
Paranormal Perception.
Now, let's go back to 2021, back to the show's fourth season, and to the time when Jill Shelley visited the show. Now, I could tell you all about her right now and what she does, but instead, let me tell you about her in this interview from 2021. I mean, it is me talking. I'll be back after to tell you all about what's happening in October of this year.
It's Jill Shelley. She is the founder, the lead investigator for St. Croix Paranormal in Stillwater, Minnesota. She's also the owner of the Boyd House in Boyd, Minnesota. That's a very active location. We'll get into those stories in just a second. But first, let's welcome her to Paranormal Perception. Jill, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Good. How are you, Henry? Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. So before we get into the team and Boyd House and everything else, let's get your story first. How did your interest in the paranormal, how did all that begin for you?
Well, you know, I was always kind of fascinated by, you know, ghosts and scary things as a small child. You know, I was always kind of drawn that way. My first experience, however, was at my grandmother's house because she had a room upstairs that none of us kids liked. It was always cold. I always felt like unwanted. Things were staring at you. So we didn't like that room at all. But I woke one night sleeping there and I heard footsteps coming out of the room. And it came up to the door that I was sleeping in, and my back was to the door. But I kind of felt like somebody was completely staring through me, like so intense, like almost if they were shooting beams of light through me. And then, of course, as a young child, I'm terrified, so I was not going to turn around and look. But then I heard it, like, turn around, walk away. Everything was fine. Mentioned it to my grandmother in the morning, and I just had a lot of respect for her. And she just said, "Oh my gosh, honey, that's just a ghost and he's not going to hurt you." And I thought, "Oh my gosh, like grandma doesn't even like, this is like no big deal." So then I was like really fascinated. Like I wanted to learn more about them. So I spent a lot of time researching, just kind of getting knowing about ghost movies, books, you know, you name it. And then, of course, with the advent of television coming out with the paranormal shows, I was like, "Oh my gosh, like you can do this. I didn't know you could do this. This is super awesome." So then I met a great group of people in like 2010, and that's when we formed St. Croix Paranormal and started traveling out through the United States to well-known haunted locations.
Yeah, and we're going to get into all the details in just a second, but let me go back, actually. It seems like I keep asking this question to all the guests that come on. I don't know if you knew it in the beginning when you first got your first experience, or it kind of sounds like it from what you're saying about your grandmother. Did your grandmother or do you guys have any psychic abilities?
Not that I, to my knowledge, knowing about anybody else in my family. I myself, when I'm out investigating, I can kind of feel when they're around. Like I kind of know that somebody's there. That would just be my inner self. You know, wouldn't say that's a gift or an ability, but that's all I've noticed about myself.
Yeah, I guess kind of like me, you would describe it as just being sensitive to the other side.
Right, right.
Yeah, but you can't see them, you can't hear them other than with equipment.
Correct. Yes. I mean, I've audibly heard voices, but it's not something that's on a daily basis for me. I really wish I had a gift like that. It would be super awesome, but I don't. So.
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, I've talked to many medium psychics on a show that, yes, it's awesome, but it can also be scary. But it's really, what they say, it's really annoying, especially when they don't know how to turn it off in the beginning. Seeing and hearing all these voices all the time. Let me also go back to the very beginning. I know you mentioned when you started seeing the paranormal TV shows and hearing about, you know, that you can actually go and research these things. Besides that, is there any other research you started doing on your own to find out, like, how do I find out about spirits and all this stuff?
Not necessarily. I didn't, like, reach out to try and do them. Of course, you know, as a kid, you played with the Ouija board. I mean, most children do. I would, now that I grow up, I would never touch one. You know, and I had some other smaller experiences too as I was growing up, more in my teenage years. I don't know. I don't think there was, you know, I'm old school, so we didn't really get to have the internet and stuff at the age when I was around. So it was pretty much just books and reading and television shows, how you would further. And then I guess just some of the experience I had, as a teenager.
Don't worry about that, Jill. I'm right there with you. I always feel ancient when I tell people. Before internet, I used to use this thing called the encyclopedia to research things. But you can't mention the Ouija board and then not say, now that I'm older, I don't touch it, without telling me why. Is there a specific reason why you don't touch the Ouija boards now?
I just kind of feel like it's... Well, a lot of people say it's kind of evil. I guess, like, if you're not careful, you open some of those doors. And, you know, I guess, like, this one experience that we had that was kind of scary is we all skipped school and went over to my friend's house, and we were doing the Ouija board, and we were doing it for like hours. And of course, you know, it was doing its thing. But none of us really realized that all of a sudden in the room, it was like really, really cold, and like actually the windows were starting to fog up, and the guinea pig started freaking out that was in the room. And it was just, and then we all kind of had a lot of bad luck kind of things. I mean, nothing detrimental, but like, oh, now your car broke down, you know. I mean, it was just stuff that daily life, but it just seemed like it just kept happening to all of us, you know. So I just kind of was like, I felt like that was just a bad deal, so we just never kind of touched that again.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same boat where, and you probably remember when we had specifically Toys R Us, when they still existed, they used to sell them there. They still sell them, I think, at Targets and other toy stores. They sell it as a toy. So obviously they don't think, I think it's just because they want to make money, but they don't think it's dangerous. I used to think it was, but now that I've never honestly ever actually touched one or done it or ran a Ouija board session, but having seen people do it and being seeing other people do it on camera and in person, I now, where I stand, is kind of like where you are, where I don't see the board itself as dangerous or evil, but it's the intent that makes it either dangerous or evil or whatever you're using it for. That so I'm with you on that one. That's where I see the Ouija boards.
Right.
So let's go to when and specifically why why did you need to form a team, which is now St. Croix Paranormal? Why did you feel the need to form a paranormal investigating team?
Well, I kind of really wanted just to hang out with people with the same type of interests with me, because, you know, it's, you know, sometimes it can be scary, you know, going to some of these places by yourself. So you want to find some people who have the same common ground as you. But I kind of also got into it because I was at that point, as I was getting older, like, I'm kind of afraid to die. Like, is this really it? Like, I cannot handle if this is it. Like, if you're died, you're buried, you're done. That's it. Like, I couldn't handle that. And, you know, it still freaks me out to think about it.
Yeah.
But I wanted to prove to myself that there was another side to make contact. And so I would feel better about passing on when it was my time. And I feel that I've proven to myself with a lot of the things that I've experienced that there is another side. And so I also kind of tend to focus some of my investigation on now, like, what's it like over there? So I try to ask a lot of questions about that.
What is it exactly that convinced you, and not that you're looking forward to dying, but like, I mean, is it accurate to say that when your time comes, yeah, you'll be at peace with it now that you know a little bit more of maybe what's waiting for you on the other side?
No, I'm still terrified of it. Because it's like, what if I'm wrong? So, yeah. You know, there's always that doubt, you know? I don't know. I mean, I guess I would be more at peace knowing that there is something there. I'm going to go somewhere. But it's also scary, too, because it's like, where is that somewhere? You know, so it's there's still a lot of unanswered questions.
Yeah, that because, I mean, maybe you have some evidence that you guys have captured in your investigations. We'll get into that in a second. But I honestly have never seen it, whether on television or real investigations, private investigations. When we get EVPs or make communication with the other side, I have never to this day heard someone say, you know, God was there or heaven is there or heaven is this or there's a hell or no one ever says that. It's just, hi, I'm here, I'm okay, open the door, whatever it is. But no one's ever told us what's actually on the other side, unless you guys have gotten something like that.
We've gotten a few communications. I think one of them was they did say that your relatives do come and get you. You do meet new people on the other side. There are animals over there. And, but I have noticed that when you talk about, like you say, God or heaven or hell, they shut up. They won't talk about it.
Yeah.
I did have communication with a dead priest. Now, you take it for what it's worth, but basically we got out of him that he couldn't talk to us about any of that. So I kind of feel like it's an unwritten thing. And if you talk about it, they're not allowed to for whatever reason. So I don't, that's just my take on it.
So
whether it's right or wrong, I don't know.
No, so what it sounds like is like, if there is, God has a paranormal non-disclosure agreement that they signed then.
Yeah, it could be. It's like an unwritten rule. Like you can't, you know, because they say you're not supposed to know everything until you die anyway. So
yeah,
there must be some sort of, you know, maybe you'll be abolished if you say anything. I mean, who knows? We don't know. It's just, you know,
yeah,
it's all relative theory, I guess. You know, I guess nobody's going to prove it till you actually pass on. Then you'll be like, oh, was I way wrong? You know?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I always say on the air. I say it's called the unknown for a reason. We don't know until we get there ourselves.
Right.
So let's go back to the team. Like besides yourself, obviously you're the founder, but who else makes up the team?
We have Donna, Alex, Teresa, and then our dear friend Stephanie, who has had a big, huge career change. So she can only come on very few investigations, but that's pretty much our little family right there.
Okay. And this is the fun part for the listeners, especially talk about, well, let's start with what you or anybody else on the team, what you would consider scary things that have happened to you on investigations. Talk about some of those.
Well, Teresa, unfortunately, we call her our paranormal punching bag because the poor girl she's always getting scratched or bit or pushed or hurt or saw. It's always something if we're at a place that we're dealing with negative type spirits. We actually were just at the Stevenson's building just a couple weeks ago, and she had gotten scratched, and she kept seeing these dark shadow figures kind of darting and like taunting her half the night. Somebody like grabbed the back of her head, like they were, and it wasn't in a nice way. Like she's like, they like palmed me, and then I could feel their fingers. And then she said the weirdest thing was, is that she goes, I've never had this happen, but she saw like a guy's face in her mind, and he didn't have any eyes. And then she got scratched right after that. And she was like really freaking out about it, because she's like, I've never seen him in my mind. Like when I saw her the next morning, because I was actually sleeping through all this.
Yeah.
But when I saw her the next morning, she was literally crying. And I've never seen her have that kind of emotion. Because she's like, they got in my head, and it just really freaked her out. And then I come to find out that there is, we didn't know, but there is a demon there, a man with black eyes who likes to scratch people, which we found out later. So she felt better that we could validate that. But it still creeps her out. But I think her biggest thing we've ever really experienced is, again, with poor Teresa. We were at Whispers Estate. And there's a closet there where a man dropped dead on the day of his retirement, and he's very crabby, does a lot of bad things to people, locking them in closets, you know, scratching, pushing, all kinds of things. And of course, we have to go stand in that closet. And so we were in the closet, and I heard this voice in my head, like a man's voice that said, get out of the closet. And I decided to get out of the closet because I don't really like them anyway. But just hearing that, and I decided, oh, it's just me being paranoid. I'm not going to say anything to Teresa. So mind you, this is a big walk-in closet. There's actually a small table in there. It's huge. And so she's sitting in the back on a chair, and all of a sudden she and that chair come flying about 4 feet out of that closet. And she said something picked up that chair and physically pushed her out of the closet. And she was 4 feet out of the closet. So if she had just fallen out of the chair, they would have just fell forward. They wouldn't be out in the hallway. So yeah, that she's a little bit shaken up by that one.
Yeah, it sounds like Teresa's definitely a magnet. Now what I'm about to say is very biased because I'm actually looking at her bio in the on their website right now. You've got to take care of her because she's a Green Bay Packers fan, and so am I. I know you guys are in Minnesota, but we stick together.
Oh, she is diehard Packers. Yes.
Yeah, me too. So you got to take care of her. And you said she's going to go on a few.
In fact, Alex, our other team member, he's a Vikings fan. So the two of them,
Send him instead.
They go rallying. They wear the T-shirts to battle each other out. It's quite comical, yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, send him instead. Don't send the Packer fan. Going back to the team again, it kind of says it on the website, but what equipment do you use? And for you, like what's your favorite piece of equipment or the one that you've had more success with?
Oh, we pretty much use everything that's out there. And then if it's new, we buy it. We just like all the gadgets. But my favorite tool that I love to use is the Spirit Box because I love the science behind it and I get so much evidence out of it. It's one of my favorite pieces of equipment. And there's so many varieties of them now. So we kind of own all of those, like the S-Box, SP7, the 11, the Portal. So we are a collector of the Spirit Boxes.
Yeah, see, with the Spirit Box, as a radio guy, I've never had any faith in that one at all until recently. Because I met a Native American paranormal investigation group. Because I always thought, I've heard like portions of commercials or songs or something from TV. So I know it was that. So I'm like, oh, I don't know if it's real or not. But then because they're from the Navajo tribe, when they get things in the Navajo language, when they're getting their things in their language, there's no way you can accidentally do that. So they've changed my mind a little bit on whether it's actually real or not. So I think I'm starting to come over to, yeah, I trust it now.
Yeah, I've gotten just so many different things that you just, there's no way they would say that. And plus, you know, I've gotten swear words, which would never come off the radio. But
yeah.
I think my favorite one, we were doing a private investigation for a homeowner, and his whole family had experiences. And the dad, who had this, like, he was a PhD, a professor. I mean, he had like a bazillion titles behind his name. Very intelligent man. Not believe in spirits, so he wasn't getting anything. And so I asked, and to kind of backtrack, so the house he lived in belonged to Captain Jenks, who was the riverboat captain in downtown Stillwater.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very famous man. So we ran the Spirit Box, and I said, whose house is this? And it said, plain as day, Captain Jenks. And from that day forward, that guy became a believer in the paranormal.
Yeah, kind of hard not to when it's literally telling you right there.
Right.
Yeah. So that actually brings me to what I was about to ask is, like, how do you pick the locations? You mentioned residential. Do you only do residential, or is it anything?
You know, we kind of do everything. You know, residential, they reach out to us. We've done, you know, businesses local in town. That's how we started. And then we started traveling to, you know, the well-known haunted locations that, you know, they allow investigators to come into. So that's, you know, as far as picking the location, you know, when we're doing the traveling, if it's haunted, we're going to go. So if we can drive it, we're going to go.
Yeah. And I know you mentioned on the website, on the email you sent me, you also say you go out when people ask you to go. So how can people get a hold of you for investigations?
They can contact us on our website at stcroixparanormal.com. Kind of like you said, it'll talk all about us and information, and then there's a contact that you can click on that and shoot us a question.
Now, before they start getting crazy, how far do you travel, or does it matter? Do you go anywhere?
Yeah, we pretty much, as like I said, as long as we can drive and we have the time and are able to do that. You know, unfortunately, COVID kind of took us back, or we're just doing a very few trips this year, just kind of getting back into it. So yeah, it's just, we just depends where it is and it, you know, how badly do we want to go?
Yeah. But not like if somebody, because it is global on the internet, if somebody calls you from like Japan or something, maybe you might think about it.
You know, I don't know. Japan, that's pretty far away.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay. I pass that off to somebody local. I'm sure they have somebody.
Yeah. So again, we're talking to Jill Shelley. She's the founder, the lead investigator for St. Croix Paranormal. They're in Minnesota. I have the link on the show description, by the way. You guys can just click on Jill's name or St. Croix, and it'll take you right to there. So I'm going to take a little break right now. When we come back, though, not only do they investigate, they now have their own location, a very, very, very active, haunted, active location. We'll go into it, not physically, but we'll get into that location right after this.
This is Paranormal Perception. Learn about the unknown ghostly stories from the City of Angels. Reserve a seat on the LA Hauntings bus tour presented by American Ghost Walks. On this 3-hour tour, you'll visit and learn about haunted Hollywood and other LA locations like the Cecil Hotel, the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, and more. You'll hear about the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez, the Black Dahlia murder, and many more. This is an all-ages tour, but keep in mind that there is a stop at a bar, a haunted bar, of course, so 21 and over is preferred. Visit AmericanGhostWalks.com to reserve your seats on the next LA Hauntings bus tour.
A paranormal investigator's best tool is probably not what you just thought of. Audio recorders, REM pods, video cameras, SLS cameras are probably at the top of your lists. Add coffee to that list. Specifically, Phantom Journeys Coffee. Visit phantomjourneys.com/phantommerch to choose from Banshee Breakfast Blend, Bigfoot Espresso, the Drunk Mystic, and other flavors. Curated by an experienced paranormal investigator and grown locally in Temecula, California, Phantom Journeys Coffee is the must-have tool for all investigators. Visit phantomjourneys.com/phantommerch and get your bag today. Phantom Journeys Coffee. So good, it'll wake the dead.
Where can you find unique paranormal-themed t-shirts, hoodies, and other items? Alien Soda Company. You'll find coffee mugs, shower curtains, notepads, gaming mouse pads, and more. All with unique pop culture and paranormal designs. New items are added on a regular basis, and they ship all over the world. Plus, just for Paranormal Perception listeners, use coupon code PERCEPTION at checkout for 10% off your order. Visit aliensodacompany.shop and use coupon code PERCEPTION for 10% off your order. Alien Soda Company. For all things out of this world.
Are you searching for the ideal space to host your next event or meeting? Look no further than Casa 723 in Fullerton. Conveniently nestled in the heart of Fullerton's bustling business retail center, Casa 723 offers the perfect location for your small space rental needs. Located near the intersection of Orangethorpe and Commonwealth, right on the renowned Harbor Boulevard, Casa 723 is easily accessible and centrally located. Whether you're looking to host art classes and exhibits, dance classes, photography sessions, arts and crafts workshops, or business meetings, Casa 723 has got you covered. Imagine a space where your creativity can flourish and your ideas can come to life. That's exactly what you'll find at Casa 723 Fullerton. Casa 723 is at 723 South Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton. Visit casa723oc.com for more info or to reserve Casa 723 for your next event.
We now return you to your unscheduled awakening. This is Paranormal Perception with Henry San Miguel. Talking to Jill Shelley. She's the founder and lead paranormal investigator for St. Croix Paranormal in Minnesota. Like I said, though, I mentioned that not only do they investigate homes, yes, and other locations, but they now have their own location. So let's get into that. So Jill, tell me about the Boyd House. Tell me that story.
Well, that came about because doing all our traveling, I thought, well, this would be really cool to have my own place and then let other people come investigate too. So that kind of sparked the idea. And then in 2018, financially, I was able to do that. And I was kind of on my own looking for a particular house because nobody really advertises a house to be haunted for sale. So I just kind of used my instinct on what I felt looked like it may have been haunted. I was really drawn to the Boyd House. And then I invested with a medium that I really trust. And she said that she felt like there were six spirits at that home. And then I went and did a pre-investigation on it. And with that, I got a REM pod going off within 8 minutes, some really good spirit box responses. And then I thought, well, I don't know. I should probably just see what the owners have to say. And they were real hesitant to talk about it, but they did have several experiences in the house, all kinds of stuff. So they would hear piano playing. They saw a man sitting in a chair before. You know, nothing really crazy. They kind of blew a lot of it off because they didn't, you know, it was back in the day too when people were like, oh, if you talk about it, you're crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, but as we've owned it more, there's been more people who have stayed at that house as, you know, because they were friends with the family, with the kids, just coming forward with more and more stories of what's going on at the house.
Yeah, it's actually interesting that you say that it was hard to find a haunted listing because you're in Minnesota, obviously, but I'm in California. There actually are a lot more listings for haunted houses now, and people actually go out looking for them purchase them because they're haunted. And in fact, little plug, there's a new show about that coming to Sci-Fi, I think in a couple of weeks, called it's Surrealist, something like that, which is exactly about that. Selling haunted houses, so I think that's a new thing. And you got Boyd House before it became a thing, so it's becoming a thing now.
Yeah, well, that would have made it much easier.
yeah, and like you said, you do rent it out for people to do investigations, or how do they go about that?
You can again just hit us up on the St. Croix Paranormal website. That'll get you in, or you can just direct email us at boydhouse217@yahoo.com or hit us up on Facebook under Boyd House or St. Croix Paranormal. So plenty of ways to get a hold of us to book an investigation.
And other than like the obvious, you know, don't break down walls or anything like that, but what are the quote unquote any rules for anybody investigating at the house?
Like you said, pretty much to be respectful. Yeah, you don't destroy anything. Of course, no alcohol or drugs. You just have to take your trash out. You know, pretty much it. It's just like you were visiting a friend's house. You wouldn't wreck it while you're there. So that's pretty much it. No satanic worshiping, of course, or anything. But pretty much other than that, you have free reign to do what you want. Kind of give everybody a really long time so they can check in as early as 3 p.m. And then you don't have to be out till noon the next day, which I think is kind of nice because you get time to set up. You can have dinner, then you can investigate, catch a few hours of sleep, and then go home. So I think it's a nice, generous amount of time for people to get in and get out.
And they stay in the house or do they stay somewhere else?
I know you can sleep there if you want. Most people do. I've actually had a few people who didn't, but most people just bring an air mattress. I do have one bed there, but we're not like a hotel or a B&B, so... you just a lot of people bring air mattresses or cots, and then they need to sleep downstairs. And we do have, you know, bathroom and shower and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like being at home.
Yeah, except with a few unseen guests along the way.
Yes, yes, and everything we have in there, pretty much, we tried to take it back to the day since the house was built in 1901. So we've kind of redid everything, and all the furniture, most of the furniture in there is antique. We've actually got two pieces of furniture back that were original to the house. So that was kind of cool. We put that in the original spot. And then finding out different things about the family that lived there. Mostly, we believe that Fred and Minnie Eckhart are still there. We get a lot of responses that they're there. They read their names a lot. They both passed away in the house, and Minnie actually, her funeral for 3 days was held in that house. And then two of their children passed away. And so we get a lot of children activity too. So, but we have all the old antique furniture. We just try to keep it all real old. And I think they kind of like it.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I've learned actually over the years that actually acts as a trigger object for them, because they think it's still their time. So that's why they still stick around.
Oh, yeah. I'm always kind of getting stuff and learning. Like, I just found out that they used to have a smoking stand over here with the Time Life magazines, because he liked Time Life magazines. So I bought a bunch of old 1930, 1940 Time Life magazines. So just as I learn more about the family, I bring in more things to try to make it more like how it was. So I know what kind of plants that she liked. And so I'm just kind of doing stuff like that. Of course, they're going to be fake, because nobody's there to like take care of them every day. So
yeah. You're talking about Fred. You said he was a smoker?
No, he did not smoke, but he had a smoking stand. Oh, so I think that was because, you know, that was the thing that you did back in the day. Yeah. You know, you smoke your cigars and things. So
yeah, no, I thought you said he was a smoker. So I was going to say, has anybody smelled smoke while they're in there? But he wasn't.
Some people have smelled perfume. And then I think that's all I've heard about for smells. Okay. One guy had like a sulfury. He like thought maybe I had a gas leak or something, but I didn't. Yeah. But so those would be like the only two.
What
smells I've heard people say.
Was that smell only in one area or like throughout the house?
He said that was like in the basement area. And then he said like him and another one of his investigators got a headache. So then I was kind of concerned. I'm like, oh my gosh, do we have a gas leak? But we didn't. It turned out nothing. So it was just a weird fluky thing. Because I was like, I've never smelt anything in the basement at all. So.
Yeah, I mean, you always want to track down like the obvious things, but you know, sulfur, and you probably know this, usually means that something demonic is there.
Right, right. And there is actually a room in the back, which it's an addition to the house. So it's not original to the house, but I've just never liked that room. I've always got a bad vibe about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I never said anything to my investigator. So when they came with me one day, Teresa was in there and she was like flipping out in that room. Like she kept pacing back and forth. And I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, I don't like it in here and I can't get comfortable and I don't know why. So I was like, really? Cause that's how I always feel when I'm down here in this particular back room. So, but you know, things happen on the land. I mean, our deed for that goes back to 1889 when the town was founded and the land was owned by the railroad. And actually the railroad tracks pretty much run right through the backyard too. So we got a lot of that energy from the railroad tracks as well.
Yeah. Okay. I know you mentioned you rented out the like for private investigations, but do you have like TV shows use it or no?
Well, I'd love it if the TV shows would come. but they're hard to get a hold of. But yeah, no, anybody's allowed to come in and investigate. So yeah, for whatever they want. I've even had people who aren't investigators just come because they want to see if they can experience anything. Yeah. So I've had people come and stay that for that too.
Well, actually, that brings up another question. You made me think of, as you were saying, that do people that have no idea about the paranormal or its paranormal history, do they want to stay there, just treat it like kind of like an Airbnb? They just want to stay there just because?
Yeah, just so they can see if they get any experiences. And some of them do and some of them don't. I kind of feel like with the paranormal investigators, because you're using the equipment, you're actually engaging, that you get a little bit more activity versus someone, because they usually just sit there and like hope something happens. Like they're not,
yeah,
which you wouldn't want them sitting in there provoking anyway, but you know, they're not, they're just kind of waiting for something to happen, which, you know, if people who are paranormal investigators know that just, it's a whole lot of walking around asking for if anybody's there. So it's not like the TV shows.
Yeah, I think honestly, this show has a lot of the TV people. They do listen, and we can talk off the air. I can actually get you in touch with a few of them. See maybe if they want to use it as a location. So we can talk about that later on. Besides all that, you have the Boyd House and all that. So I know 2020. Well, you know, 2020 was 2020, but now are things getting sort of back to normal, and you can open it for more reservations, investigations.
Yeah, it's been really busy, I think, with COVID restrictions lifting. Like, we had pretty much every Friday and Saturday in June booked. And then we've been able to attend some conferences now. We actually have one this weekend up in Duluth for the Para Unity Conference. We'll be up there. So I think that's helping get the word out a little bit, too. And you know, again, talking with, you know, people like you on the internet, too, with the podcast is really awesome. Great way to get out and also meet new people. So it's just been an incredible journey so far, and I'm looking forward to many more years of the future of this.
Yeah, I was actually about to ask you about the team, the St. Croix. Are you guys finally starting to do not investigations but conferences and things like that? But there, you have one, like you mentioned.
We went to Omaha just recently, did their convention, and then there's also the one this weekend, and then there's one in August down in Iowa that we're doing. I think it's called the Midwest Paranormal or something like that. I'm sorry, I'm really bad at that kind of stuff. We'll be attending that one too. And then if anything else flops out in, you know, October or something, we'll try and get to that too.
Yeah, because for obvious reasons, I think that'll probably be your busiest month.
Yes, that usually tends to be, and it's my favorite time of the year. So.
Yeah, us too. So again, give them websites, social media, everywhere they can follow you, and especially book investigations or anything there.
Yeah, again, stcroixparanormal.com, boydhouse217@yahoo.com. Otherwise, Facebook, either under Boyd House or St. Croix Paranormal. So those are probably the easiest ways to get a hold of us.
Yeah, and I'll make it easy for all you listening. I'll find everything and link it up, and you can just click on the names and take you right there. So it's Jill Shelley again. She's the founder of St. Croix Paranormal, the lead investigator and the owner of Boyd House. Jill, thanks a lot for coming on. You have great stories. I'm sure we'll stay in touch, and you're welcome back on the show anytime.
And that...
All right, awesome. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
...was Paranormal Perception.
Something wicked this way comes. Something wicked this way comes. Something wicked this way comes.
Something wickedly fun, that is.
OC Paracon returns to Orange County this October.
All info and an early bird ticket sale coming soon exclusively to Paranormal Perception.
Access granted.
We'll see you in October for OC Paracon 2024.
Something wicked this way comes.
Who's going to be there? Keep listening, 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 listening.
You may have noticed that tickets for OC Paracon went on sale on May 1st. We decided to surprise you all with an early bird spring sale. For the entire month of May, general admission tickets to OC Paracon are $20 per person. After that, they're going to be on sale for the regular price. Now, before you buy the tickets, I know you want to know who's going to be there this year. Well, I'll tell you right now, not everybody is confirmed yet. There will be some announcements, more announcements coming soon. But let me tell you about the ones who are confirmed, who is going to be there. TAPS West Coast is going to kick off everything. The presentation about who they are, what they do, and also a little Q&A session for all of you to ask. Any question you've always wanted to ask but never had a chance to, of an experience, a team of experienced investigators. We're also going to have Sean Klein from Sean Klein Shadow Productions. He's been on a journey that's different, quite different, I'll say, from the one he was on with Unearthing the Supernatural. He's now discovering the obvious, as in his obvious talent, which is filmmaking. And he's going to talk about transitioning from what Unearthing the Supernatural was to this new journey that he's now embarking on, and how you can do the same. Not as a filmmaker, but maybe there's some of you listening to me right now, or some of you who are going to be at OC Paracon, who you kind of been feeling, you know, I think I've had my fill of the paranormal, but you don't want to completely get away from it. Well, Sean Klein's going to talk about how he did it and how you might be able to. Varla Ventura, she's somebody who you've heard on the show a few months ago, actually.
She's going to be joining us this year, and she's going to be talking all about all her paranormal adventures and all her research, most of them which have been included in her books, all of her books. She might even tease, I'm not promising anything, but she might even tease her latest book, which I believe OC Paracon attendees, you might be the first to hear about what her new book is going to be. So that might be an exclusive for you. The hosts of Phantom Journeys podcast are also going to be giving a presentation at OC Paracon this year. Now, we haven't decided on what. They've given me three really good topics, so it's kind of hard to pick. But we're going to be deciding soon and letting all of you know what topic we decide they're going to present to you on that. Matt McGurk and Ken Smith, they're quite knowledgeable on several paranormal topics. So I know whatever it is that they end up talking about, you're going to enjoy hearing from them and asking them questions. And then there's a panel that I'm really looking forward to, and that's the Women in the Paranormal panel. Krista Lorona is going to moderate that one. And as you probably guessed, it's going to feature several women in the paranormal. Who are they? Well, my friend, of course, Patty Negri, she's one of them. Nicole Strickland is going to be on this panel also, as will Varla Ventura. Now, just added to the lineup, to this panel, is someone who you recently heard on the show, Spooky Foodie. She's very unique, as you heard, and her approach to investigating is refreshing and, fun. So I had to invite her to be a part of this panel, and she will be. There's going to be a few other women that we're going to add soon. We're just trying to make sure that they're not tied up on that weekend. And as soon as we know that their schedules are clear, we're going to announce them and let you know that, so-and-so is going to be on board for this panel. And like I said, not just for the Women in the Paranormal panel, for all of OC Paracon, that's not all. That's only the ones that we have confirmed already. We have a few more announcements to make in the weeks and the days to come, really. It's not going to take months, but in the days to come, we'll have more guest speaker announcements. Now, the other thing that goes along with this early bird sale, it's only one day this year, Saturday, October 12th. The day before, Friday night before, that's OC Paracon preview night. This year, it's going to be a little bit different than the usual meet and greets or just opening up the location to you. What it's going to be is several locations. There will be one thing happening at the location itself, at Casa 723. That's where it's happening this year in Fullerton. There will be only one thing happening that night, and that's a seance with Patty Negri. She always does that at OC Paracon, so tickets are available for that if you want to get it. But before you buy those tickets, there will be other offerings. For example, this is one that we're this close to confirming, so I can tell you this. How about an investigation at the Omen House? Yeah, really. So that's going to be offered to you. If that one fills up, because we're not going to have 300 people going. It is David Omen's house. He's not going to have 300 people going through it. So that'll be a smaller group. So if that one fills up or you don't get a chance to get a ticket for that one, there will also be, from American Ghost Walks, they'll be offering a special Haunted LA bus tour just for OC Paracon attendees on that Friday night. So if you can't get into the Omen House investigation, if you can't get into Patty Negri's seance, there's the bus tour. And there's a couple more, maybe three more that we're going to add. Again, we haven't confirmed the date. We have to make sure that the dates are open. But there are other offerings that we'll have. So like I said, if one of those three that I just told you about, one of those fills up, it's okay. There's other ones to pick from, and they're all different, they're all good, they're all things that I know you guys are going to enjoy doing. So that's OC Paracon preview night. No panels, no presentations. You don't even have to come to Orange County. You're all going to be everywhere, but you get to know each other. Then on Saturday we all gather in Fullerton for OC Paracon for the presentations, and some of us will know each other from, hey, I saw you at the Omen House, or I saw you on the bus tour from wherever. And some of that awkwardness will be out of the way, and we'll all just be one big happy family. So again, OC Paracon tickets are on sale now. This early bird spring sale, since this is the last month in spring before we head to summer next month, this is the only chance all of May for you to get $20 tickets for OC Paracon. After that, they're going to be on sale, yes, but at regular prices. So go to ocbaracon.com. Everything is there. You can put on, you can add the add-ons, the Patty Negri seance and the other things that are coming soon. And also the tickets are on there. Tell a friend, tell friends, tell whoever would want to go this, let them know. Go to ocparacon.com. Everything is on there for you. Well, like I said, not everything, because not all the guest speakers are announced yet. Once they get confirmed, we sign the contracts and dot our I's and cross our T's, or cross our T's and, or dot our T's and cross our, whatever we have to do. Once they're on board, you will know. So next week, I think, yeah, we are going to be back in the control room. So you will be getting a brand new Paranormal Perception episode. Not sure who. I have actually a couple of guests that I can schedule. And you'll definitely hear Crystal again. So we'll be back next week to give you a whole new perception of the paranormal.
Follow the show on Instagram and Facebook. You'll learn more about Henry, the guest on the show, and you'll be the first to get OC Paracon announcements. Look for Paranormal Perception and start following.
Paranormal Perception with Henry San Miguel and Crystal Arona. This show was created by 22 Creations Multimedia, LLC.